comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is a Wednesday. It is the 13th of June, 2012, and by the by, it is my personal lucky number. I've always found that 13 is a very lucky number for me. I know that sounds a little strange, but if you've listened to the show with any regularity at all, there's quite a few things that I say that are odd, unusual, or quote-unquote strange. This is the Abiding Presence with your host, Jim Huckaday. And Jim's going to be with you in just a minute. I want to kind of brace you for tonight's show, like I always start off every broadcast, with just kind of giving you a menu, giving you a frame of mind, the type of structure that what we're going to be talking about on tonight's live broadcast on the 13th of June, 2012. Well, here's exactly what we're going to cover. I want you to know, everybody knows the difference between a glove and a mitten. Let's say it's winter time. Well, a glove, whether it's leather or whether it's cotton or some type of chamois or knit or fabric, it really doesn't matter, because a glove fits you like a glove. You have four fingers and a thumb, and it's a very nice fit. And when you have a glove on, even if it is a thick glove, you can pretty much open up a door, dial a phone, pick up a pen or a pencil. Why? Because you still have the dexterity and the independence of the five fingers and the palm of your hand to grasp things, to hold things, to point. You can even shoot a gun with a glove on. But let's talk about a mitten. What is a mitten? A mitten is something that provides the togetherness of four fingers with one large covering. Basically, a mitten just has one big covering for four fingers, and then it also has a covering for your thumb. So it almost takes away the dexterity of your fingers. The difference between a glove and a mitten, they both keep you warm, they both fit your hand comfortably, they both provide you with protection. The difference between a glove and a mitten is this: with a glove, you have more freedom. With a glove, you have the ability to do what you want, when you want, with as much of the power of your fingers as you want. Whereas a mitten is inhibiting. A mitten does not allow for that dexterity. A mitten doesn't allow for you to be creative. It pretty much keeps you within certain boundaries, and it keeps your fingers together. So you lose the dexterity. You lose the creativity. You lose the ability to do what you want, when you want, with your individual fingers, because it's about the collective. This can be said between what is a church and what is a building. A building wants to give you structure. It wants to keep you as a collective. It wants to make sure that it has control over your spiritual beliefs. Whereas a church is a custom-made glove that allows each individual person to have that most perfect of fit and allows you to do what you want to do when you want to do it. Let's take this a step farther. Now let's say that grace is a glove and grace can also be a mitten. Do you allow grace into your life to provide whatever you want whenever it's required? Are you truly in touch with Christ? Are you a spirit being? Do you have that freedom that a glove provides? Or are you maybe just, unfortunately, grace is a mitten? You know you have grace. You've seen other people use grace in the form of a glove, but yet you feel restricted. Maybe you have infirmities, maybe you have pain, maybe you have strife, trouble, day-to-day drama in your life. Maybe you're facing some very important life-changing decisions, whether they be medical, financial, or family or friend-oriented. It really isn't the point. The point is, is grace in your life being restricted? Because there is scripture that talks about this, Jim, isn't there?
Yeah, it's good to be with everybody.
It's good to be with everybody tonight. This is a really good start. And I want to bring a scripture. I'm going to work myself backwards, if you don't mind. Instead of going from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, I'm going to start with verse 5. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. And from such, people turn away. So we've just described what BJ's taken these few moments to elaborate on, which is people that are surrounded by grace, yet deny the power of it, and yet they have a real form of what we might call acceptable godliness or religion.
Well, it's frustrating because they may go to a building, they may go to a church, they may be Christians, but yet they're not enjoying all the benefits.
Right.
It's kind of like going to Disneyland and you're staying in the Disneyland hotel and you're at Disneyland, but yet you never leave your room.
You don't get any rides or
cotton
candy.
No, you know, you don't go on a pirate. I wonder if they still have
Pirates
a small
of the Caribbean.
Do they still have that?
Yes, they do.
Small world.
It's a small world after all.
Yeah, right. I've always found that song very irritating, Small World, but you know.
Wait till you go on the little raft that takes you around and you hear it for like 15 minutes, yeah.
I think there's a sign that says no long-haired cowboys allowed on that ride. But no, I hate to see people that have so much doctrine and so much religious structure that they don't even understand the true freedom that being a spiritual being gives you.
Yeah, that's really sad because what you're describing, and I don't think you'd have a problem with me saying these numbers, but really it's the high side of all what we call Christianity today.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody that's listening has a problem with what we're saying either, because the reason why you're listening is because your heart was hungry to find answers to this very thought. How come I'm not seeing answers? Why do I seem to know all these scriptures? Isn't it interesting, BJ, we've been in places before, you've been there as well, where I've been ministering, and certain individuals just seem to know every single answer.
Oh, they got it down.
I mean, if I say, anybody know this verse, they'll give you chapter and verse, won't they?
Yeah, they could literally conduct the meeting.
And yet...
But yet they limp in the door, and they limp out the door.
Okay, and that just shows you that has become a normal. The church actually enables that. Because we run out so quickly to try to help people in this kind of manner and fashion. We give special seating if we need to help folks. And again, I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm showing you that the church, instead of healing these people, sharing with them the absoluteness of God, which will help them to see through the religion that's holding them back, we enable it. We actually say, it's okay, here, sit here, and let me help you here, and let me do this for you here. And because people will say, sure, help me, help me, help me, help me, you can see that there's no one really wanting to get out of their help. They want to basically be that way. That goes totally against the idea how you got healed, BJ. It totally goes against how I got healed. If some folks will remember my testimony, I was out in California. I had already had my body was wrecked with pain. As far as the physical symptoms, they were a perforated bowel, and my body lost about 25 to 30 pounds within the course of a week. And within 3 weeks' time, I mean, I looked terrible. I started looking yellow. My body had no strength left. And I forgot to book this, to cancel this 1 week of meetings, because I was canceling all my meetings, which obviously shows not too much conviction.
Right.
Well, right before these meetings came, I finally got it. I'm so participating with this. I'm so giving it tangibility with fighting it. You got to be kidding me. And I had a very simple conversation that said, Lord, if you healed me, you healed me. I'm not talking about this any longer. It's done, and I'm going to bed. Thank you very much. And that was it. That was all I did. In other words, I got out of the way. However, 2 days later, when I was in California, I could hardly even carry my luggage. Good thing it was on rollers. The pastor looked at me, and this is what he said. I'll preach for you. You just have a vacation. Oh, my God, I can't believe what you look like. Now, BJ, if I would have let him preach for me, what would have happened?
Nothing.
Well, yeah, nothing from God.
Literally nothing. I mean, I know when you wanted me to elaborate, but really that is my elaboration, because nothing would have happened, because
right.
You would have literally been clicks away. You would have turned your back on grace.
Right.
So when you turn your back on grace, nothing happens.
So is that,
I mean,
like
there might
the mitten?
Be a, there might be a, yes, there might be a lot happening in the world, but there is nothing happening spiritually.
Right there for me at that moment.
Yes.
In my hour of need.
So when you ask me what would have happened, nothing.
Well,
which is the worst thing that can happen.
Right, and it's a good thing that's not what I did. I looked at the pastor and I said, if you want to send me home in a 6-foot box, I'll do nothing, but I came here to preach. And that's exactly what I did, and within the course of a couple days' time, health came back onto my body. It was wonderful, and I can't tell you how great it is to be healed from something serious, because I've gone both routes before. I've been healed from something serious, and I've also been operated on from something serious, and the healing is so much better. Tonight, we're hearing something, and I wanted to finish the thought here. I shared with you verse 5 that says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. But now I want to give you the 4 verses that come before this that will show you exactly why what we preach today has the potential to actually lead us astray if we don't see accurately these inhibitors to the grace of God. Look at what it says here in verse 1. But I know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It goes on to say, having a form of godliness and yet denying its power, from such turn away. The point of all this, BJ, is answering your question, taking a little bit of time to do it. The point is this. Look at what all those first 4 verses show you. It shows you the ridiculousness of the world, how advanced the world will become in being swallowed up in sin, in wrong thinking, in being swallowed up in activities that lead you astray from God. That shows you how easy it is for the church to be engulfed in the world's mentality. Now, what does it mean? It's directly proportionate to having a mitten on or having a glove on. One of the two. Thank God we have gloves on where we can actually use the grace of God. So help me out with this, BJ, because I know there's something in this that's really important here, that what we're saying. The world mixing with the church has produced alternatives and brought us to a place of wearing mittens where we don't seem like we can pick anything up.
It's like I always tell you, a building, what most people like to call a church, well, it's not a church, it's a building. It's a business. I mean, I don't mean to be disrespectful, and I don't mean to be trite, but yet I'm going to be absolute and I'm going to be very sharp about this. There, most people who go to a building to worship, there's no difference in that building between a Walmart or a Dairy Queen or a gas station. The principles are the same. They want to make everybody comfortable. They want their doors to be open to everyone. They want to have enough of a general supply so that no matter who comes through the doors, they will find something that is individual to them to identify with and to desire. Whether it's a Walmart and it's potato chips, or it's a grocery store for peanut butter and cookies, right, or it's a gas station for, you know,
yes,
the individuals. Okay, that's what a building wants to do. That's what religion wants to do. They want to keep everybody coming back and everybody happy because it keeps that building alive and sustaining.
So is this the reason why that one minister said to me when I shared some real, well, things that you and I have become so, it's normal to us now.
Yes.
I shared some thoughts and his comment was, whoa, you need to tone that down a little bit or we're going to lose some people.
Yes. Because think about what he said. Hold on, Jim. Are you sure you want to say that way? Because it might offend some people. We might lose some of the congregation. Well, where's his priorities? His priorities are on the world and the number of people there and the collection plate. When Jesus was walking the earth, he didn't care whether he talked to one person or 1,000. That wasn't the point. The point was someone receptive to Christ? Did someone want to be saved?
Right.
Did someone have a genuine desire to be healed? Because if they did, bam, it was instant.
But you know, the followers of Jesus, they loved his message. And his message was anything but like round in the edges.
It was
straight-laced as you can get.
It was, I mean, Jesus might as well have had a t-shirt that said, it's my way or the highway.
But you know what? They loved that. The people that didn't love it, BJ, were the religious people.
Well, if you think about it this way, when Scripture says, ask and you shall receive, when Scripture says that all your prayers will be answered,
right,
when Scripture says that there is nothing good of the world, it didn't say some things are bad and some things are good. No, it was very harsh and sharp. And it said, there's nothing good of this world. Don't buy into the flesh. Be careful what your thoughts are, because if you think something long enough, you're probably going to do it or say it. And it's going to be
right.
It's going to be bad for your spiritual growth.
Right.
Okay. Well, if all those things are a certainty, then why wouldn't the certainty of grace be just as powerful? Why would
yes.
not the polar opposite be so absolute? Because we have emails every week now, which is really kind of neat.
Yeah.
Every week now, we're getting at least one or two emails, and the synopsis, and to boil it down to gravy very quickly, is this. I finally gave up. I stopped trying. I stopped taking my medication. I stopped listening to my doctor. I stopped worrying about it. I literally just gave up. I was at the breaking point. I
right.
hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what, God? It's up to you. And they all say the same thing. As the words were coming out of my mouth, I felt better.
Yes.
As the words came out of my mouth, things drastically changed. I finally heard God talking to me. I finally seen Jesus. I finally felt grace all around me.
Yes.
Because they did something that is simple but not easy.
Right.
The simplicity of grace is to believe it and to live with it and use it.
Yes.
But what doesn't make it easy is that you literally have to turn your back on what you believe,
right.
your friends,
right.
family, your parents, your grandparents, the people who migrated to your country centuries ago, believe is real.
Yeah, in fact, the one lady that had a great testimony this week, I knew that she had had a great testimony, and she had been, I had ministered to her back in November, and shared with her then. I said, if you'll just stay in neutral, I got this for you. You'll be fine. And but I noticed her path, and this isn't, you know, a cut against her, but her path, as much as she endeavored to walk neutral, was really very two-sided. One moment she was trusting in everything that the doctors were saying, and remorsing over the word that they spoke over her, and the next minute she would rejoice that she was healed, and then go right back over and be struggling about what the doctor was saying, and back and forth and back and forth. In fact, the scriptures show us over in James, it says that this kind of individual, in verse 6 of James 1, says, but let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. And because of that, when I found out she was healed, I was so rejoicing, you know, obviously, that she's well, the cancer had left her body, doctors couldn't find an ounce of it. But on the inside, I said to the Lord, I said, you're going to have to show me how in the world she got her healing. Because as far as I know, she waffled back and forth constantly. So how in the world did she get her healing? BJ, this week, even when she made a comment, she said this. She said, people ask me how I got healed. And I just tell them, I don't know. It just kind of came. But in her testimony, she shared something, and I caught it and shared it with everybody at Healing School this week. This was her testimony. In the midst of her sorrow of relenting to have to take chemo and going down the road of medical science, and her body's not getting any better, and they've rediscovered cancer in lymph nodes, in her female organs, in different parts of her body, and they're giving her a pretty bad case scenario. She said she cut her hair because she was getting herself ready for the chemo treatments. In other words, if my hair is going to fall out, at least I'll have it short to begin with. That way it won't look as bad. So, and again, that whole statement, there's not too much about that that says, I know that I'm well and healed and whole. Right. So her brother sends her a text that says, chemo equals death. And coming
that
from
was a great email.
It was great. I told her later she needs to send them chocolates. Anyhow, it was like a knife to her heart. She said it just caused me to lose every bit of hope, and I just crumbled to the floor when I read it and just cried out and said, God, I can't do this. I just have to give my life over to you. I'm done. I just turn it over to you, Lord. And in that moment is exactly when she began to experience the grace of God. She went to her first chemo treatment. They looked at her and said, you are really a puzzling case. We don't get this. She said, what? We need to do more tests. And come to find out, they couldn't find an ounce of cancer left in her body. Now, what an amazing testimony. But BJ, look at the answers to it. In your way of thinking, describe what happened.
Well, what happened was is that she finally literally turned her back on the world. I could have said that to her, and it would have been either in one ear out the other, considered mean, disrespectful, or she might have just agreed but didn't take it to heart. The fact that it came from someone so close to her,
right?
You know, a sibling, a brother or a sister, really went through her defenses and her walls, and it truly cut her to the quick.
Yeah, it did.
And it made her sit down and take a deep breath and really do a self-analysis of her decision making. And that is the recipe to conviction. I mean, you may believe in God.
Very good.
You may have hope and faith that there is God.
Right.
But how tangible is God in your life?
Right.
Because a lot of people will say, look, I've got a boss to answer to. I only get so many sick days a year. I only get so many vacation days. My car insurance is going up. My neighbor's dog keeps dumping on my lawn. I've got issues here. I've got things happening. And you want me to turn everything over to openness air? Something that no one else on my block has?
Right.
no one else in my building has experienced, and it's like a winning lottery ticket. I've got real drama here.
Yeah.
And what they don't realize is that that is the only power that whatever you want to call them, the devil, Satan, Beelzebub, whatever. I go with negative energy, positive negative energy.
Right.
Because I'm kind of existential and I've dated lots of hippies. And so, you know, I've dated lots of hippie girls that are into nature and, you know, I get it.
The
spiritual side of things. It's kind of like the American Indians.
Right.
Well, the point being is that she literally sat down and said, no, there has to be something. And then she literally let doctrine aside.
Yeah.
She let her knowledge of the Bible come in, and she took her faith and her belief and her hopes, and she mixed them with just a tad drop of real urgency.
Yes.
Like a cake batter.
Yeah.
And what appeared was grace.
Yes. You know, we've said this for a while.
I don't know. Does that make sense?
Oh, it's awesome. And that's why I wanted you to do that. I love how you'll put things. Listen to this over in James chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, therefore, lay aside filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22 says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And BJ, this is the hand in the glove or the hand in the mitten. It's very interesting. So many people actually put mittens on, and they've even tasted grace.
Yeah.
That to me is very perplexing, and it's got to be how much more perplexing to God. That people could be in a building, in a church, and they see a miracle take place. They see someone get healed. They know it's real, but they reach, and they have the ability on the table to reach for gloves or to reach for mittens. In other words, to put something on them, to be cloaked with something that prohibits their ability to pick things up and be effective. Or to choose to pick something up that gives them complete tangibility and the ability to access everything that God's given us.
Yeah.
And right in the middle of seeing something wonderful, they'll still pick up a mitten.
Yes.
And this is what the verse says. It says they do this because they're deceived. They've deceived themselves. Now, that's rather interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
It doesn't say the devil deceived them.
No.
Now, we know he is a deceiver, but notice they deceive themselves. They heard something that was profound. God's word is always sharp. We have that over in Hebrews 4 and verse 12. It says, the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. It pierces even the dividing of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the reason why that verse is important right now is to let you know that the true gospel message will cut like a knife right between your soul and spirit. It'll separate the garbage that has come from this world, our minds being unrenewed because of our flesh, and it will separate so that your spirit can hear God. And yet, right in the middle of it, it's possible to be deceived if we don't act on the word. BJ, right between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, there's a book of the Bible called the Acts of the Apostles. Notice what it's called. Acts is short for actions. God's all about action. Grace is all about action. And this is really interesting because the very book that brings us over into New Testament theology is the Acts of the Apostles. What's he trying to tell us? It's not just for the prophet, priest, or king. Since Jesus came alive and came out of the grave, all sins are forgiven. And since all sins are forgiven, the grace of God is now flowing like rivers of living water all over the earth. It's permeating the air so that the air molecules have little crystals of grace, if you will. It's everywhere. God's ability is for everyone at all times. His grace will fall upon the saved and the unsaved, the just and the unjust. Grace is everywhere, folks. And this is the message. It means that anybody can operate in the anointing. Anybody can walk in power. Isn't that right, BJ?
Well, they're supposed to. They have it.
Yes.
It's like someone is telling you that your shoes don't belong to you and that you need their permission to wear shoes that are in your closet, and there's a time and place for certain types of shoes, and it's bad if you do not wear the same shoes that everybody else is wearing, and they want to dictate to you your shoes and the style and how you use them, and that you can walk in shoes but don't run in shoes. And if they told you that you couldn't have any more shoes, you'd say, are you crazy? I love to go buy shoes. I can get shoes whenever I want.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this, but it actually goes back to a dog on a dog race. Nobody wants you to find grace. Nobody really wants you in a building to have your prayers answered. Because if you do, by sheer definition, you've proven them wrong.
Talk for a moment about something we talked about today that goes right along with that. And that is, remember we were talking about the world and guarantees and warranties?
Well, yes. I mean, it's like people are so conditioned, and you and I fall prey to this, fortunately, less and less every week. The more we talk and the closer we're enlightened and the better relationship we have with Christ, the less we find those. But, okay, there is always a way out. There's a grace. I mean, if a relationship doesn't work, there's another one around the corner. Get a divorce, plenty of fish in the sea. If you don't think that's true, one of the top things on the internet is internet dating, meeting people for whatever.
Right.
The other thing is that you can take it back to the store, no questions asked. Sometimes you don't even need a receipt.
Yeah.
If it's around Christmas time, you just have to say, I got it as a gift. You know, and if the store carries it, they'll let you take it back.
Do you know, isn't it true that some people around the proms, they'll actually get a dress, hide the price tag underneath, wear it, and then take it back?
You can take a car back. If you don't like it, they won't give you your money, but you'll have to choose another one, but you can return a car.
Right.
You can return anything, and everything is guaranteed for life. Everything seems to be appeasing and comfortable and make it as broad as possible. Think of it this way. The whole world is Burger King. Have it your way.
Okay.
You can literally walk up to the counter with a loved one and you can say, I just want nothing but a hamburger patty and bread. I don't want anything on it. And the person next to you can say, I want everything. And
sure.
Not only do I want everything, but I want extra this and extra that.
Yeah.
And the price is exactly the same. But nobody cares because you're getting it exactly what you want.
Right.
Well, buildings and organized religion has figured this out. If we just keep them coming, if we just keep giving them enough, they'll always return. You know, how long do you need to carry a spelling book, ABCs? If they give you a book about the ABCs in first grade, do you really need to have that when you're in the sixth grade? Would you really need to have that in high school? Isn't the point of learning, isn't the point of seeking out knowledge, isn't the point of spiritual enlightenment to advance, to get closer? There's no advancement in a building. It's the same. The lady's email last week, she says, I've been going to this building. Well, she called it a church. I've been going to this building for 5 years. I've been hurting for 5 years. I'm getting worse. The apostle of the church is always sick and always hospitalized. And this woman's message has been the same for 30 years. Think about that. The definition of insanity is doing something over and over repetitively, thinking that this, the next time it will work.
Right.
The next time will be different.
Yeah.
That's insanity. If think of this, of it this way. How many times would you drive your car out of a parking lot the wrong way and those little spikes sticking up blow out all of your tires? Would you keep going out and having to buy new tires, or would once pretty much do it? Well, if all these ridiculous worldly things, you'd say, well, that's enough. That's crazy. I'd never do that again. Well, then why do you succumb to the doctrine and religious beliefs and limitations,
yes,
of a building that prevents you from spiritually advancing? Because everything in the Bible is go.
Yes.
Like, go right now.
Right.
Hurry up and do it, because there's more.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing about Christ that has limits and boundaries.
No. No. And this is...
Back this up, you know, well, you're what, a minister, pastor, you're somebody.
Somebody.
Back this up, somebody.
Well, you know, this is what can be perplexing, and that's why I said earlier, it's very, very interesting that people can be surrounded, actually, by grace. Even some of them experience it, and yet turn their back on it in the next minute. And that's why I wanted BJ to expound on that, because you begin to see that the world and the way the world thinks really begins to condition the church people as well. People bring their mentalities into the church, into a building. Even ministers have to renew their minds to truth. And if they don't, they'll bring their interpretation or their mentality into the scriptures, and things get diluted, watered down. And before you know it, you're spinning your wheels. You're just trying to come up as a minister with another way of saying something, and it's still not working, just so that the people don't think you don't know anything else. That's a really sad place to be. So listen to this over in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I'm going to start with verse 7 and read to verse 9. It says, at that time Hananiah the seer came to King Asa and told him, because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of in the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Look at what he's saying here. This next part is really important. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and the Libyans and their vast army with all of their chariots and charioteers? At that time, you relied on the Lord, and he handed them over to you. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war. In other words, you're going to eat the fruit of your own labor, your own decisions. So listen to this story, and I'll just go ahead and give you a definition. It says very simply, King Asa had experienced the hand of the Lord giving him amazing victory over armies that were even much more vast and numerous than the ones he was getting ready to fight. But this next time he went to fight, he asked for help from someone that was a neighbor instead of consulting the Lord. And the prophet was sent to speak to Asa and to reveal to him, why have you done this foolish thing? The King James says, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to find those whose hearts are sincere or are faithful or are committed, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. Folks, I want you to know that grace is there to show itself strong on your behalf. But are we like this? Maybe you say, I've seen a miracle before. I even know someone that had one. In fact, I've had God touch my life. But then isn't it interesting how easy it is, if you don't protect your heart, to go right back to leaning on the hand of man, making your decisions based on this world, giving the world your value and your energy. And what takes place? Just like it says right here, you'll have the fruit of where your value is. If your value is on the world, if you're sick and your value is all on the doctors, then if they can help you, they can help you. If they can't, they can't. like the individual we shared the testimony about. She came to the place after the doctors had done all the different things they were going to do. And the testimony came back from her brother that said, chemo is death. It caused her heart to be stung and she crumbled and immediately cried out to God. There was a repentance there, a change. But folks, I want to ask you the question. As we're talking about these so very important things, do you see the difference? Can you see in this story? The king went with man. The king then went with God. Do you see the change? BJ, I trust that people are seeing the difference.
Well, some are, but unfortunately some aren't. We received an email on June 3rd, which was about 11 days ago, and it's from a nice lady named Natasha, and it says, wait, wait, wait. Are you simply referring to the spirit realm as the real world and the natural world as not real? Question mark. What is grace? Because I've only ever heard it defined as God's unmerited, unearned favor and usually in references to sin. I guess I've never understood it in a broader scope. Huh. Well, see, that goes to what we're talking about, the confinements of a building and of organized religion and doctrine. Natasha is like a lot of people who, unfortunately, are listening to the show not because they like us, but because they have an undescribable thirst for knowledge.
Yes.
They know that there is something better. They know their lives can be different. They just aren't quite sure how to find it. And they're not quite sure how to find it because they're not exactly sure what they're looking for, because it's very confusing.
Yes.
Because every organized religion literally says we're the only ones that have it right, which is ridiculous, because there's many paths to God. And what that means is there's as many paths to Christ as there are people that have ever been created and will be created.
Yeah, because it's an individual thing.
It's an individual thing.
Yes.
But Natasha brings something up. I hate these words. I hate supernatural. I hate unnatural. I hate miracle. Because they all describe something that is unusual, unobtainable, rare, infrequent.
Yes.
Just doesn't happen. Because that's wrong. And Natasha, yes. What you think is reality, your day-to-day life, doing laundry, paying bills, right, going to the grocery store, watching your favorite TV show.
Sure.
That is unnatural.
Yes, it is.
That is supernatural. It is odd. It is strange. Because you are involving yourself in the world instead of acknowledging that you're a spirit being where there is no clock, time, or calendar.
Okay, it's good.
And we received an email and from a really good person who really has a good relationship with Christ and pretty much gets just about 100% of everything you and I say.
Sure.
And is a big fan of yours for some unknown reason. And this person asked that we should keep the show at exactly 60 minutes and that we should start on time and end on time because it allows people to fit it into their lives and they can count on it.
Sure.
And they can rely on it. And it doesn't involve...
Which makes sense.
It makes great sense. It was a wonderful email. And it makes perfect sense in this world.
Right.
Because if you want people to ride the bus... The bus has to stop at every station and be on time. Well, a show about grace, a show about healing and prayers being answered, and a show about the spiritual world, by sheer definition and essence, doesn't want to conform at all to this world. And the whole point is if the show goes... If the show is 1 hour and 10 minutes, or the show is 1 hour and 30 minutes, if we start at 8 o'clock, or we start at 3 minutes after the hour, or 2 minutes after the hour, like we did tonight, the point being is that people are making a conscious, simple not easy choice to log on and listen to this show. If this radio show does not conform to their life's routines and schedules and agendas, that's actually a compliment, because this show is counterproductive to worldly ideas and conformities.
Right. Right. And that sounds just like the passage we just read.
It does. And I think people should think about that.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
I hope all this helps Natasha, because I thought this was a wonderful email. And just by the by, folks, speaking of emails, you can just say, I'm listening, I like the show, I don't like the show, I want to, even if you just want to hear your name in town on the internet, send us an email right now at theabidingpresence@theabidingpresence.com.
Hey, while you're making that announcement right there, let me just come behind it and say this, because I have some really good things I want to share. The 21st of this month, which would be a week from tomorrow.
That's exactly 8 days.
8 days at 7 o'clock p.m. at The Bridge, which is in Bixby, Oklahoma. We are going to be having a meeting where people are going to receive all kinds of healings and wonderful testimonies of God's grace. It really could be called Grace for You, which really would be for anybody.
Grace for You, finding grace, enjoying grace, using grace.
Yeah, because it's going to be a meeting where people are going to experience the grace of Christ.
There's a lot of healings at those meetings.
Yes, and healings will take place, and it's going to be a wonderful time, so I'm just inviting you to come. And BJ, here's an interesting thought. And this came to me while I was coming to the ranch tonight, and I was really asking the Lord, help me to make some sense out of this. But there's a progression in the early church that's very interesting. I've already shared tonight with the folks, and it could have been a nice question for you for me to say, which book of the Bible stands between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant? And the answer would be the book of Acts. BJ made the comment, grace is all about doing. It's all about right now, because there's more. And that's right. That's what the book of Acts is so interesting, because it stands between as a bridge to New Testament theology, and it's saying, look at what we're doing. We're all about using grace. We're all about experiencing the Holy Spirit. We're all about doing the works of Christ. Well, that's true, but I want to show you the progression. The early church, they were all in the upper room according to Jesus and what he told them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You're going to receive power from on high, and then you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So the early church, which comprised 120 people, were in the upper room waiting for what Jesus said was coming, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this is my point in this. There is a progression of what they did with the grace of God. They experienced something very wonderful up in the upper room. It was so wonderful, it really made an impression. And the next thing that we see that Peter and John did with it, outside of telling people about their experiences, when they were going to the temple in Acts chapter 4, they met a man who was paralyzed from his mother's womb. He'd been there for 40 years. They'd seen him before, but now they were aware of the grace of God. Does that make sense to you? Using the grace of God is becoming aware of its tangibility. It's everywhere. That's why we say it. We don't say it for you to say, oh, isn't that nice? Grace is everywhere.
Right.
BJ, we say it so that you'll acknowledge. You told me something this week that most people would think would be crazy.
But you know, most people think I'm nuts.
Yeah, well, of course. And you know, I have been using the grace of God since we've been talking. I've been acknowledging it so much more myself. You know, just this past weekend, Drew and I were out doing my middle daughter. We're out doing some weeding, and a wasp lands on the back of her knee. And she puts her hands down there, and bam, it stings her. And she just comes around the corner and says, Daddy, I think I've been stung by a wasp. And I walked over to her, put my hand on, and I said, because it's nothing, it'll come to nothing. It can't be any other way.
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me that.
That's all I said. I said, honey, go back to work. Everything's fine. Then about an hour later, she comes to me. She says, look it. And there was no swelling. There was no nothing. It was a tiny little, it looked like a little black spot where you could tell that there was a stinger. All I'm saying is, that's grace. And immediately I said to the Lord, thank you, grace. BJ, this week you acknowledged, like, how often do you acknowledge the grace of God?
I acknowledge, you know, I've never done that. I should do that. I should get a little clicker or just carry a little piece of paper and a pencil.
You do about everything else.
Yeah, I do. I count everything. I'm a big fan of mathematics. This is true. I do like information. I should do that because I want to give you a perspective to think of. Okay, because a lot of people will say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for forgiving me and loving me, and I want to be closer to you, and I know that I've been saved, I've been baptized, and please, you know, help me, and I love you. You know, they come up with these really nice flowery...
It sounds great.
It sounds very nice. Very nice, and I'm not doing it justice. Well, this is what I do. We were baling hay, and very important time on any farm or ranch is baling hay, because you're racing the clock, you're racing the weather, you've only got so much room, everything's got to go right, even a flat tire will upset your day. And we're baling hay, and someone gets down from a tractor, and they go, you know, it's going really well. I wonder what's going to go wrong. And I said, well, nothing's going to go wrong. And he says, why? And I says, well, because if we have a flat tire, or if we run out of baling twine, or there's not enough room in the barn for all the bales that we're baling, well, that's God's fault because he screwed up. Because I'm just glad that God loves to bale hay. And he said, I need to go. And I go, where? And he says, you're going to get struck by lightning. And he says, I've heard you say things like this before. You know, and he says, that is blasphemy. That's disrespectful. And I just laughed. And I said, okay. And I just went about my way. But I want you to think about something. Which philosophy, which attitude really exemplifies,
yeah, it's good,
the tangibility of grace in your life? Asking for forgiveness, which you already have, waiting for God to come into your life and for things to turn around and be better, because that questions things. You're questioning the arrival of grace. You're actually questioning if there's God. You're questioning if you're worthy. It's all about questions, questions, I wonder, otherwise known as D-O-U-B-T, doubt.
Right.
You're doubtful.
Yeah.
Or think of my conviction. Think of the tangibility that I have given God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and grace. I've given those guys so much tangibility,
yes, yes,
that I'm holding them accountable,
yeah,
for baling hay.
Right.
If I get a flat tire, that's God's fault. He wasn't paying attention. If there's not enough room in the barn for all the hay, well, you know what? Jesus was watching television and he wasn't paying attention to where the bales go, because I am using grace.
Yes.
I'm all about grace, and I'm thanking grace all day long.
Yeah,
and every bale that comes out of the baler, I'm looking, thank you, grace, because God loves to bale hay,
yeah,
because my hay is green, and there's not... I literally baled thousands of bales of hay, and there was not one broken bale out of a baler. If there's any farmers or ranchers listening, they would bet their last dollar that there isn't a square baler machine on the face of the planet that isn't going to dump out a broken bale sooner or later in a field.
Huh.
We didn't have one broken bale. Mm-hmm. Nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
The ice never melted in the chest. We literally took an entire first cutting harvest of square bales and round bales, thousands, with an army of people, and we were done in less than 48 hours. Tell me that God didn't have a hand in that.
Yeah, my comment would be to the listeners, you really need to, and I really strongly admonish you to, go over this show again a couple of times, and right there where BJ was describing the difference between what we have religiously thought to be such an amazing, oh, isn't that such amazing testimony? They love God so much. And that's not to demean that people don't love God. They do. But listen to the difference of someone that actually is proactive with grace, using it. Which, think about this. What really honors your mom more when she's taken time to make dinner and it's hot and it's right before you, and she put everything out, and it's there, and she says, come and get it, and you come, and you pick a little here, and you pick a little bit there at the food. Or your brother eats everything and says, Mom, do you mind if I have seconds? I mean, what's going to be more honoring? Well, the one that's honoring is the one that's actually using or taking advantage of what's been prepared. And grace has been given to us. Jesus even said in John 16:7-8, he even said, it's to your advantage that I go away, that I would send to you the Holy Spirit, or the grace of God for everyone. So God wants us to take advantage of this grace.
We just received an email that says, so, if I walk by faith and I believe in God, should I bother going back to the doctor to have a biopsy?
Well, the answer to that question is, what do you feel about it? Because the conviction of your heart is exactly what you believe to be so. My answer is, why do you need to? If you're well, if you're healed, why do you need a doctor's report? You know, I find that Jesus only one time said something that was close to this. He said to the lepers, go show yourselves to the priests. And the priests were basically like the doctor of the day.
Right.
And they went back to show themselves to the priests because they needed the priest's approval of them to be healed so that they could get back into society and have a normal life. That's the reason why he said, go show yourself to the priest. So answering a question like that to me is, if you're placing yourself in a position to trust in God, well, then there's really nothing else to be said of that but to say, it's handled, it's over, it's finished. Your heart is convinced. There's a persuasion, there's conviction. And if that's so, you don't need any man's opinion. And by the way, if you were to get a man's opinion about it, wouldn't it be exactly what you know it to be so? Because you are healed and you are well? These are some interesting things to think about, folks.
I think it's interesting because it's very frightening when modern medicine seems to either be competing or actually trumps spiritual belief.
Yeah.
Because friends, family, doctors literally tell somebody that you're crazy. You're putting your own life in danger. And I find that ironic. And the only thing that I have to relate to is when the guy who had me under general anesthesia for 11 hours, I hadn't been saved,
right,
hadn't met you. This was actually a little over a year before I was saved and met you. And I'm laying in bed and I'm still kind of groggy. And he says, I'm on the board of my church / building. He says, I'm on the board of my building. And we've been praying for you. And he says, well, you write books about horses. You have a radio show about horses. And well, you can have a productive life in a wheelchair. You can't be a cowboy anymore and you can't run a big ranch. And you're going to be limited because you're a paraplegic, but you can have a productive life in a wheelchair. And I've been praying to Jesus that your life as a paraplegic is a blessed one.
Yeah.
That is literally like someone saying, My son is blind. My wife has polio. My sister has breast cancer. And I want you, Jesus, to make sure they have a really wonderful life, all screwed up and sick. Yeah. Watch out for them.
Right.
Because does that make sense?
No.
But see, think of the tangibility that doctors have. Think of the tangibility of a lump in a chest. Think of the tangibility of swollen knuckles because you have arthritis in your hands. Think of the tangibility of photographs and trophies and ribbons. And you have
right.
bad knees.
Right.
And they want you to have surgery. And you were on your college football team. Think of all this tangibility you have. And yet, what is the tangibility of grace in this world? Because that's where the wheels come off the wagon. They try to bring God into this world and make Christ tangible in this world, when that doesn't make sense, because Scripture tells you, don't do that. You're a spirit being.
Right.
Act accordingly.
Yeah.
I mean, go with God means really go with God.
Right.
Go somewhere else.
Right.
Be somewhere else.
Yeah.
Be a spirit being.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jesus said that which is flesh, that which is spirit. When Paul said, walk not in the flesh, but walk in the spirit. He said, live in the spirit and don't live in the flesh. Well, he's drawing a very specific line between the two. It's not wide. In fact, Jesus made mention of this by saying, it's very narrow, and there are few that find it. But wide is the path that leads to destruction. In other words, it's easy to walk the road of tangibility. Jesus said that to Thomas. He said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen me. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. And so really, when you think of a question, and I thank God for this question being asked here on the email, because it really is a question that probably 9 out of 10 people with conditions would ask.
Well, what's real interesting is this person told me on the phone that they met someone, socially business, I don't remember, doesn't matter, that was almost double their age, and the woman said that she's had all kinds of similar situations going on in her body for years, and she hasn't done anything, and she's just relied on God, and she's fine and healthy.
Right.
I mean, I say this to you all the time, and I know sometimes it irritates you, but when you think about it, it's really true. The real testimonies are not me walking. The real testimony isn't for someone's cancer going away. The real testimony isn't someone's arthritis going away. The real testimony of Jesus was not having a blind person see, or a leper not being a leper, or someone being dead and being risen again. That wasn't the real testimonies. The real testimony of grace is when people don't use grace, when they don't acknowledge God,
right.
when they don't have Jesus in their life, how systematically things just don't seem to go well.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be a 911 4-alarm fire, but it just doesn't seem to work.
Yeah.
And no matter what they do, it doesn't seem to go well. I mean, I have never met anyone who said, have back surgery. Because most people say, you know, if I had to do it over again, I'd never have back surgery. I have different back abnormalities now than I did. I would rather have stayed on pain pills and had back surgery. I'm the only person I've ever met that has had 25 pieces taken out of my back over an 11-hour period who doesn't have an issue with the surgery.
Right.
And it's not me. It's not because I'm really tough. It's not because I eat right. You know, to me, the four major food groups are candy, popcorn, ice cream, and drive-through.
Oh, my goodness.
But the point is that I use grace.
Yeah.
I mean, grace is in every toolbox on every tractor.
Yes.
Grace is in every single truck. It's on every single golf cart and ATV on the ranch. Grace is in every pillowcase. I mean, when I lace on my boots in the morning, I'm lacing grace on.
Yes. And this is a good lesson for those that are listening. God's grace and His success is for everyone. And I'll finish just my thought here about the apostles, about Peter, about the experience they had with God's grace, about healing that man. Well, they were finding out through the book of Acts, it was a progression to learn who gets to have this grace, who gets to experience this power. Because it was very interesting, it went from Acts chapter 4 with Peter and John, apostles, using the grace of God on that man and healing him. And then they prayed a prayer in the 29th, 30th, and 31st verse that talked about, Lord, grant unto us boldness to preach this word so we'll have miracles and healings take place. If you follow the progression, you come over to the 5th chapter where it says in the 12th verse that through the hands of the apostles many signs and wonders were wrought. So notice it's still just in the hands of the apostles. And then you come over to the 6th verse and you see, 6th chapter, and you see Stephen, who was one of the helpers. He was not an apostle. And he had a tremendous experience with God, even though he was martyred. If you'll follow the progression, you come over to the 8th chapter and you find Philip, who again, he was one of the servers. He was not an apostle, but he was sent down to Samaria and he had miracles take place and cast out a bunch of devils. He preached the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch, and once the man was saved and baptized, Philip was caught away to another city. Look at how much the power or grace of God worked on others, not just the apostles. Follow the progression. You come to the 10th chapter of Acts, and Peter, because of the dreams that took place between Cornelius, he prayed a prayer. God gave a dream to Peter and sent Peter to with an angel to Cornelius's house. And when Peter preached the gospel message, the Gentiles received the same experience as the 120 did in the upper room. What am I saying? They began to realize grace is not just for apostles. Grace is for other Jews. Oh, grace isn't for just Jews. It's also for Gentiles. And you move on and on and on, and you come over to Paul's understanding in the epistles, and Paul said the great mystery of the church is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, Paul said grace is for everybody. It's not just for one or for two. It's for everybody. And how wonderful is this message? Folks, for every single one of you that are listening tonight, God's grace, when we say it's like breathing air, it's because it surrounds you right now. It's in your nostrils. It's in your lungs. It's in your blood. It's in your organs and your tissue. It's ready to be used. It's ready to be experienced. Grace is on go. It can't wait to touch your body. It can't wait to touch your mind. It can't wait to do things for you all day long. Grace is there. This is the beauty of the work of Christ. I really believe this is coming into a really wonderful session that we're having tonight, BJ. I think people are really getting some good ideas of what we're talking about. I feel like we're going to get some great emails coming in.
Well, we are. We have. We've had a couple people that said thank you for explaining natural, supernatural. A lot of people thought that the email from the lady Natasha was an excellent question.
Yeah.
And they were thinking that. A lot of people are afraid to email to ask questions because they think it's a stupid question, or they feel that it may be ridiculous. But there is no such thing as a dumb, stupid, or ridiculous question.
No.
If it has to do with your spirit.
Yes.
Because the sheer fact that you're thinking, considering, wondering, investigating,
yep,
shows that you're not stupid.
No.
It shows that you're hungry.
That you're hungry, yeah.
And you have an indescribable small aching desire that never seems to go away because you might be at a traffic light. You might be sitting in your bathtub. You might be using a public restroom. You're somewhere where all of a sudden your mind just all of a sudden says, there has to be something more. My life just cannot be this. I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 60, and the only thing I have to look forward to is more of the same.
I can
and I think
yeah.
That is a very lonely, frightening place to be. But it's also a very good place to be.
Yes.
Because it questions this unnatural world. It questions what people want you to believe, what they need you to believe, because then it opens your mind and your heart to what if and maybe, and grace
right.
loves
yes.
what if and maybe.
Absolutely. You look over in Ephesians 3 and verse 20 where it says, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power that works in you, or you could say according to the power, the grace that's chomping at the bit, can't wait to touch you. So I could just share from my own testimony that being placed in a position like a healing school, prayer school, there was such a demand on me to produce results, to help people, and to teach others to do the same, that my heart had tremendous hunger. And today, what I'm receiving is still because my heart has tremendous hunger. And folks, I want to ask you to just go ahead and begin to feed that hunger. Keep that alive. In a sense, you know the term, stoke the fire of that flame, that hunger. Paul even said, stir up the flame, or stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. He was saying, stir up the fire, poke the fire. Get that fire going. There's some embers there, but you can make it blaze. And to the degree that you're hungry is to the degree that you'll be moved. And if your heart is moved, send us an email. You realize that when you send emails, you can put on there disclaimers and let us know we'll not use your name.
No.
We can use the, and if you want to send us an email that just lets us know where you're at and you don't even want us to use the topic, just do it. That's fine. Send us. We'll interact with you. But the point being, when you're hungry like this, when your heart is open for more, the moment, I've watched this over the years, the moment your soul opens itself, and I'm talking about your mind, your will, your emotions, they open themselves to more, you are at a precipice where your spirit will gain knowledge. You'll have knowledge. You'll have experience. Grace will never let you hang when your heart is hungry and open for more.
A perfect example of what we're talking about, and it goes back to emails and people's routines and of this world, is that right now this show has been on the air for about an hour and 13 minutes. My lucky number, 13.
There you go.
And the longer we talk, the more people that are listening. There's more people logging on and listening as we progress. And what's real interesting is so many of you, if I hadn't have mentioned how long the show was on, if I hadn't have mentioned what time it was, no one would have known.
Yeah.
Because they would have been lost in the moment.
Sure.
And that's a spiritual moment.
Yeah.
Because when you literally, it almost sounds like a science fiction movie or Star Trek
uh-huh.
or Star Wars or the
right.
old Rod Serling 30-minute show called The Twilight Zone.
Right.
Because he'd say, when time and space stops, when you enter another zone, called the Twilight Zone, where nothing seems to be what it is. Because that's what God is. That's what heaven is.
Yeah.
I mean, would not the spirit world, would not heaven just be such an amazing, bizarre, fanatical, 180-degree opposite of what you think this world is and what this world has become?
Yeah, which is really so sad, because God didn't create the world and the intention wasn't to be opposite. It was a place where God actually would come and fellowship with man.
It goes to the way that is said. It doesn't say that the world is bad. It says there's nothing good
of
the world.
Right.
What that means is it doesn't talk about the baby pandas on the Discovery Channel.
Right.
It doesn't talk about Niagara Falls on the History Channel. What it talks about is man's development of conveniences and the building up of society.
Yes.
And the advancement of money and the dependency on modern medicine, the internet, telephones, waffle irons.
Yes.
It really doesn't matter, because if man created it, it is of this world. It is of the flesh. And what does it say about things of the flesh?
Yeah, well, it says we're not of the flesh. We're of the spirit.
So if man being of this world, if man being of the flesh, if man was to create something, dictate something,
right,
want you to participate in something,
right,
well, then everything in the Bible says wrong way.
1 John 2, it says, love not the world nor the things that are in the world. For if you
stop. Where is that? You did it again too fast.
It's in 1 John.
1 John.
And it's in chapter 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever.
Okay. I want to put a philosophical spin on what you just read, and then I want you to read everything word for word and tell everybody where it is after I say this.
Okay.
I want you to think about something. If you pray for a raise at work, if you pray that you push the right button at an Indian casino, if you pray that the $3 you spend is going to be the winning ticket on a lottery, if you pray for a 2-for-1 sale on golf balls, if you pray that you get off early so that you can get a better seat at the bar, if you're praying, if you're asking for things that you want, not that you need, but that you desire and that you want, that you think will enhance the quality of your flesh, knowing what Jim just read, is there now any doubt that that really wasn't a prayer? Because it also says, absolute, ask and you shall receive.
Yes.
Pray and it will be answered. Not tomorrow, not when we get around to it. There's no test. There's no grading on a curve. Ask and it you shall receive. So if you've been asking, and you've been chanting because you thought it was a prayer, but it's really just a chant.
Right.
I like that. That's really it, because it's confusing when you say you've been praying and it's not a prayer.
Uh-huh.
If you've been chanting repetitively in a religious way because you think that it's a prayer and it's going to be answered, now read that again.
It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, love not the world nor the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Good passage, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, very,
because
very excellent.
It really describes. Now, take that passage, add, there's nothing good of the world, ask and you shall receive, all sins are forgiven, it's an individual path to God, then that should help people decide whether they're attending a building or they're attending a church, and the definition of a sanity is repetitive behavior and thinking that there's going to be a different outcome. If you put all these things together, folks, and if you just take a deep breath, some of you are going to send us emails this week saying, I found grace.
I want to read this out of the message.
I'm healed.
The Message Bible, BJ. Same passage. It says, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourselves, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting, is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Did you like that?
Yeah, what's that? Now, what's that?
That's the same passage, but in the Message Bible. Isn't that good?
Well, what's the difference between a King James Version and a Message Bible?
Well,
because I don't know. What's the difference?
Well, the King James Version supposedly was taken from original text. And, of course, it's written in what you might call Elizabethan English. And this right here is a paraphrase of that, but it's also taken from original text. It's just put into modern language. So I'm going to read it one more time.
Yeah, please do.
Because this really was good.
Yeah, I want to think about this. So read it a little slower, and this is the same 1 John.
Same thing. I'll read the King James. Says this, love not the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The Message Bible says, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love the world, love of the world, squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. This is really, really good.
It is, because it literally goes to what we're saying.
Yes.
It literally goes to what is unnatural. It's really reversed. What is unnatural is your job and your life and your home.
Yes.
And hoping you have enough money for cat litter. And what is natural is not having pain, not needing a doctor, and not having life's dramas.
Right.
You know, people, the guys that were baling hay with me, they says, why are you thanking God for a good bale of hay when there's clouds in the sky and there's rain in the forecast? And I says, because it would be selfish of me to ask God for no rain. And they says, why would it be selfish? Because if it rains, it's going to screw up your hay. And I said, think about the finite, the real way to pray. And so I had about 3 or 4 people listening to me, and I says, think about this. If I said, please, God, please, don't let it rain, I'm baling hay. Well, what if I have a neighbor that doesn't have a lot of money and they live on a small acreage, and their whole acreage is nothing but a garden, and they can't afford to water their garden because a water bill is something they just can't afford. So they need it to rain to grow the food that they're going to can that's going to help feed their family through the winter.
Right.
So it would be selfish of me to pray for no rain when my neighbor needs rain.
Okay.
And I said, let's do it the other way. All my hay's in the barn. I've put three-way fertilizer out, little granules all over the ranch, and I need at least an eighth or a quarter inch of a rain so these little granules melt, go into the topsoil, and help fertilize my hay. Okay, what if now I pray for rain, but someone else who's baling hay...
Yeah, they need it dry.
They need it to be dry.
Yep.
So what would be a more effective prayer? What would make more sense than to thank grace for every bale that comes out of the baler and goes in the barn? Because what would grace make sure happens? Every bale is perfect. Every bale is green. Every bale looks wonderful and is going to be wholesome for every horse on the ranch and whoever buys my hay, and that there is going to be room in the barn for all the thousands of bales and all the round bales. Now that is grace.
And at the same time, you haven't eliminated the idea that someone across the street can pray an amazing prayer that says, Lord, I trust you. Thank God that grace will take care of my garden and all of our vegetables will be perfect.
You're not even asking for anything. You're thanking them for things they haven't even done yet.
Yeah.
Because that is conviction. Yeah. That's faith.
Yeah.
I literally said, thanks God for no flat tires. Thanks for plenty of diesel fuel. Thank you that we don't have to run into town in an emergency and stop everything for baling twine.
Yes.
And thank you that I don't have to have, you know, the John Deere repairman out here working on a baler. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Before we even started one tractor.
Yes.
Because what am I doing? I'm literally saying that God is going to take care of everything, and God is good, and I'm thanking him.
That's good.
Ahead of time.
Yes.
That is conviction.
Well, you know, Paul said, let every prayer, he said, be given with thanksgiving. And that's over in Philippians in chapter 4, where Paul said that be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, let your prayers be made known unto God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So Paul's saying in Philippians 4 and verse 6, he's telling us, here's a prescription for your prayers being answered. Let your prayers be given with thankfulness. In other words, you already see an answer before it's even offered. Well, glory to God. This has been a good night, BJ, and I'd kind of like to just have a word of prayer for folks right now. I believe there's some people listening that would benefit from a healing prayer. And so, Father, I give you praise tonight for the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're not working for anything, but you sent Jesus to do the work for us. So we relax. In fact, we rest right now in the truth that the grace of God has already secured healing for us. That means pains are disappearing right now. Arthritic joints are loosening as we speak. Bones in the muscles and tendons are being healed left and right. You'll wake up tomorrow morning, you'll jump out of bed, and I'm telling you what, the first thing that'll come across your mind is, oh my goodness, I don't hurt. I don't hurt an ounce. Growths are disappearing because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Tumors are leaving. In fact, eyesight is becoming better, healed and whole, where vision becomes 20/20 again, restored, well, glaucoma disappears, and the fuzzy and haziness leaves you. This is all the work of Christ, all the work of grace, and it's everywhere, healing, making whole, making a heart completely normal. When the doctor said that heart only has 20 or 30% left. Glory to God. You can run. You can shout. Well, tonight, be well, be whole, and be healed. And be at peace in your heart. And know that grace is everywhere. Amen.
You know, folks, I want to thank everyone for all the emails. And I want to say a special thank you to Fred in Germany, who sent me a wonderful supply of candy. We do have a new P.O. Box number if you would like to send us some mail or put anything in the mail that you'd like. And I'd want to thank all the people and acknowledge the people that do not get an opportunity to listen live on a Wednesday night, but you listen 24 hours, seven yes. days a week, and we yep. know you're there. We do receive a certain amount of emails, and people want us to pray for them. That is an amazing compliment, and we respect you so much, and we take that seriously. But yet, I want you to think about this. One of the cornerstones of Jim Huckaday's philosophy for doing this show and fitting the bill financially for this show is to assist people to have their own prayers answered, yeah. to heal themselves, to pray for yourself, because in Scripture, that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Very good. Yeah.
And I wanted to leave you with that as we do say goodnight. And you know what's interesting, Jim, is we're continuing to get more people listening right now.
I really enjoyed tonight a lot.
We have more people listening now than we did 15 minutes ago. And 15 minutes ago, we had more people listening than we did 20 minutes before that. And I find that very interesting. And I also find it very hopeful that there are people out there that are spreading the word about the show, sending emails, talking about it on Facebook and Twitter, and they're trying real hard to show, look, I found something, maybe it'll help you.
Now that's good. If that's your conviction and that's how you see and value this show, then according to the way you see it, share it. Tell people about it. If you'll notice, we don't do a lot of that. We want people to find this on their own. We want your hunger and your heart's desire to be met. And if you truly hunger God, you'll find this show.
And folks, we want you to take care of yourselves and your pets and your loved ones. And we will be back here with another live show on Wednesday, the 20th of June. And Jim, I think things went good tonight.
Yeah, I was real pleased. So God bless, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Good night, folks. And Jim's headed home, and I got to go check on the horses. Good night.